Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Pastor Fred Gillenwater here at Russell Road Church. We're glad you tuned in. Thanks for being with us today. So, baptisms next week. So if you haven't been baptized, you need to be baptized. Next week's the time. We're going to try to do this once a month. So if you need to be baptized, next weekend at 11 at this service. All right? All right. Thank you for being here. Now watch this. We've been talking about the agape love, and the agape love is what we were created for back in the garden. And that's what Adam and Eve fell out of. When sin came in, it broke the fellowship with God, and the agape love was broken. And so the idea is that's when conflict came in. So we've been talking about conflict and peace. And so because we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. But love, joy, peace. Peace and joy come out of the agape love. You can't have peace and joy that's genuine in your own love, trying to love people. It has to come out of the agape love, God's kind of love. It has to come out of you having a relationship with God. If you have a relationship with God, you're in a position for true joy and true peace to be in your life. Without that relationship with God, you can't have true joy and true peace. It'll always be based on what's happening or how much money you have or what, you know, what you're buying. It won't be based on who God is and what He's created you for, because He's not governing it. See this? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we need the Holy Spirit to really have joy and peace. Amen? Okay, so we've been looking at this, and I tell you what, I'm excited about this. We've been talking about relationships, and I ministered on this at Christmas Eve, and how important it is to understand relationships. Because, see, that's what was broken when the snake came in. He got Adam and Eve to question God, right? And then it caused conflict. And all conflict is a manifestation of sin, what was broken. So if you have conflict in your life, we have to understand that we can have peace right in the middle of conflict. See that? Peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is the presence of someone. His name is Jesus. And the only place you're going to get peace is from Jesus. Nowhere else. Because He is the Prince of Peace. It says in Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son has been given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end." Talking about Jesus. Jesus is the only way. There's not many ways, only one way. His name is Jesus. And we have to go His way if we're going to connect with God. All right. So now think about this. We're going to go to our vision. All right. To build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see that? In the bond of peace. Peace is not possible without the Holy Spirit. So that's our vision. So you see, when we really are functioning in this, people are going to want what you have. I am convinced that culture's lack of interest for church is because they don't see anything any different in the people who go to church. But when you have peace, you got some. And God has called you and I to be peacemakers. And we have to grow and mature and understand how to become peacemakers. And He says in Matthew 5:9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the sons of God." And so we're called peacemakers. We're not just called disciples. We're not just called believers. We're called, and we're not just called Christians, we're called peacemakers. So this is what we got to grow and develop in. We'll be a peacemaker. Make sense? Now give me Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. All right. Remember, joy, that love is the agape love that only comes from God. Remember, there's five loves. I know I got you standing. What are the five loves? Remember, philia is brotherly love. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Eros is sexual love between a man, husband, and wife. And then thermos is compassionate love. And that's where we get the word thermos. It keeps things warm and cold. And then storge is family love. Those are all based on emotions. All those four. Agape love is the big one. That's the one it's superior. It's supernatural. That's the one we're created for, to live by. And that's the one we're growing and developing in. Because you see, when we got that one working, all the rest of those come under submission to the agape love. See, now I can connect with you emotionally. And if I can connect with you emotionally, we got something. See this? See, here's what happens. You single guys, you're looking for a girl? Oh, yeah, look at that. You need to watch that. Because your attraction will take you to the wrong thing. You may be attracted to the way they look, but you connect with them, they're emotionally a mess. They're going to bring their mess up in on your life. I'm going to tell you something. The decision you make with your partner for life is the most consequential. Other than your relationship with Jesus, the decision you make with your partner, your spouse, is the most consequential decision you will make. Because every decision you make, they're involved in it, and they will have influence in it. So we better get wise in our relationships. Am I making any sense? Are you in the right place today? Wait. There's no such thing as being compatible. Don't think, well, I'm just not compatible. No, that's divorce lawyers. They came up with that term. Everybody's compatible. You just got to learn how to love and do what God is saying and not what you want. All conflict comes from what you want. Am I making sense? When you're in conflict in yourself, it's because you're not getting what you want. Am I making sense? This is what we got to learn. When we learn to be meek and listen to the Holy Spirit, we'll start to understand. Then our relationships are going to take on a whole new meaning and effect on what matters in life. Am I making sense? We can get along. And folks, when we understand this, people are going to want what you have. But if you're in conflict all the time, nobody wants that. So we're gonna look at this, and we're going to grow. All right. We're going to look at James chapter 3, and then we're going to go to 1 Peter 3:15. So think about this. You know, something I've been trying to help people understand, even on Wednesday nights, is that, you know, in a marriage, I keep bringing up marriage, so it's for you single people too. So in a marriage, I am convinced that it's the little itty-bitty things that matter. And so I'm challenging you men to be practicing chivalry. Chivalry, what's chivalry? Open the doors, help them get their coat on, pick up their plate at home, help serve them. Serve that woman. Chivalry. I mean, when you're at Kroger's, get out there and open that door. And do it. I don't care if it's 20 below zero. You open that door for her. You know what it's doing? It's making her feel secure. Now, does Donita say, come on, open my door so I can feel secure? No. No. It's working. It's developing something. You see? Because when you don't submit and they can't see it, that's why they don't want to submit to you. Listen to me. God wants you under his auspices. Now, I'm going to go here real quick. He says in Genesis 1:27 and 28, In his image, he made male and female. Man and a woman. He created them and blessed them. That was before the fall. The word blessed there is ashur. That means emotionally healthy, wealthy, emotionally wealthy. So that's the idea. Remember Psalms 1? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So when we have godly counsel, we're going to be emotionally wealthy. So I can respond to you in a healthy way. You see, if you don't have that type of connection emotionally, then you're going to be in fights and arguments all the time. You see that? But when you are under God and you're putting Him first, you're going to have peace. And you're going to be able to respond with each other emotionally. If you're not connected emotionally, you won't have what it takes to hold your marriage together. You need to be connected emotionally, because when you're connected emotionally, that you become friends. Now, when you're a friend, your spouse is your best friend. That's what holds together for better or for worse, richer or poor, sickness and health. But if you're not connected emotionally, you'll always be at odds with each other. But you have to grow together in this emotional well-being. Am I making sense? If you're going to be blessed, you got to get up under God and get His will in your life. And I'm going to help you with that today. Is this making sense? But if you're not, you're always at odds. And look. When you're always want, you ever see people that always want to fight? They always want to argue. A servant of the Lord is never to argue. I'm never to argue with people. I'm not going to argue with people. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, a servant of the Lord should never argue, because it generates strife. So I'm not going to argue with anybody. Am I making sense? People say things to me, and it's like sometimes they say things to me, and the public is like, I can't believe they just said that to me. But, you know, I stay in the Holy Spirit, and I understand where it's coming. I've been doing this a long time. I got a little something for you if you'll listen. We're not supposed to argue. That generates strife. Your children don't want, if they see you arguing all the time, that affects them. You can take them to church every day. They're not going to want your Jesus. But if they see you being genuine, real, and have peace and love, they'll be beating the doors down to come to church and want what you have. Because you see, when you're doing that, you're becoming the best version of yourself. You see, that's what my declaration is this year. I'm free to be me in 23. You want to be the best version of yourself. And as you see, sometimes you get connected with people that don't want to grow. And when you're a person that's wanting to grow and add value to your life, and they're not wanting to grow, the person that doesn't want to grow benefits from you growing. And now they're benefiting in their life because you're growing. But you're paying their bill on their lack of growth and maturity. Am I making any sense? You know that's right. But when you get two people who are growing and maturing, and you got something. You have something that the world knows not. I mean, you have paradise. Now, let's go here. Who is wise and understanding among you? Remember? Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal thing. In all you're getting, get understanding. So understanding, when you get understanding, you're becoming wise. If you don't want understanding, the Bible says you're a fool. I didn't say it, the Bible says it. Do you want to be a fool? I want to be wise. How about you? You can be wise. The Bible's been given to us to be wise in our decisions, our thought processing, and decision making. We can be wise. Now, I like what it says in Proverbs 2, 10 and 11. It says, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you and deliver you from the evil way. Don't you like that? So if I get wisdom and understanding, it has the power to deliver me from the evil way. This wisdom only comes from God. You can't go to seminary or MIT or Harvard or any Yale. You can't go to any school and learn this, get this wisdom. It comes from Jesus and his word. Am I making sense? Because folks, listen, this is why we need to grow in our understanding of God's wisdom. Now think about this. Look what he says. Who is wise and among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. So now think about this. This is about relationships. This is what he's talking about. So he says, if you'll grow in meekness, and you know what the word meekness is? The word gentleness. They're synonymous, same words. Where you see the word gentleness in the Bible, it's the same word as meekness. Meekness means strength under control, or it means teachable. It comes from the training of a horse. When a horse is meek, they're teachable, and they have all this strength, but it's under control. And they listen to their master. And that's the idea. You want to be able to listen to your master. Who's your Jesus? If Jesus is Lord, he's your master. He's not only your master, he's your ruler. He's your boss. See, and when we listen to him, we will become meek. We'll become meek and we'll have strength under control. See, it's easy to be weak. Meekness isn't weak. Weak is, you know, you fly off and you say anything off the top of your head. That's weak. Or you criticize somebody. That's weak. Or you gossip. That's weak. It's easy to gossip and get into all that mess. That's weak. Whenever you get around people like that who will say negative things about people, you can right away say, this is a very weak person. You can say that in your heart. And you can discern that. Because, see, you'll get involved in that if you hang out too long. So the idea is, the more you grow and understand, you're going to get stronger and become meek. And that's what God's looking for. So you can discern what's around you and the relationships you're connecting with and being a part of. Now, let's see. Go with me to 1 Peter 3:15. Okay, now look at this. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Now, this is what Peter's saying. Sanctify. See, sanctify means you're set apart. This is where people make the mistake. They come and get saved, and they get baptized, and then they fall away. They don't get into the process of being sanctified. Sanctified is a process. That has to do with your soul. You see that? Now, you don't have to go there. In 2 Thessalonians 2:14, it says, but we are bound to give thanks to God because God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which you were called by our gospel for the obtaining of our Lord Jesus Christ. See that? For the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory means what God originated and intended. You heard the gospel, you responded because you knew, because God had a plan before you were even born. You heard the God, he's talking to me. And that's the gospel calling you to be you. But when you stop the process of sanctification, you stop the process of becoming the best version of yourself. Because he wants to show you the you haven't met yet. And that's what sanctification does. It shows you who you are and your development. You see that? And so this is where people fall short. Because cognitively, they might be saved. But cognitively, their emotions are not where they're supposed to be. And that's what happens. When you're emotionally out there, you're always going to be at odds with people. Am I making sense? And then that creates a disruption inside of you. And there's no peace. Okay. Now wait. Look. Because you've got to do this in your heart. Why? Because your heart's desperately wicked. Where do you get that? Jeremiah 17:9. He says that your heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, I search the heart, I test the mind. To give everyone according to their ways and according to the fruit of their doing. There's going to be an outcome out of your heart. If you're not watching your own heart and allowing that sanctification process to take place, there's going to be a mess come out of you. Are we making sense? Now think about this. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. With what? With meekness and fear. Meekness, strength under control. Fear, respect and honor. That's what fear means. So I'm to respect and honor you. Did I talk about chivalry? You should respect and honor that wife as God's daughter. You listen to me? I mean, you ought to cherish her, that God has entrusted you with her in this life to express his image. Because you, remember, the woman is the church. The man is Christ, metaphorically. Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ did the church. That's what we're supposed to do. And when we're doing that, we're showing the world Jesus. You ought to be breaking the ban to serve her. You know what will happen? She'll serve you. Did you get that? I talked about that, didn't I? Now pay attention. I didn't talk about this. Psychology, I talk about psychology. I grew up in a very dysfunctional home. I know what wrong psychology is. So psychology studies show psychology is the study of the soul. See, your soul is where sanctification takes place. Psychology, it says the implanted word is able to save your soul. When you get God's word in you, it can save your soul. Literally, rescue, deliver, make whole, peace. Now listen, so I study the soul. Psychology says our brains have neurons in them called mirror neurons. Mirror neurons. So what's that say? People are going to do what they see you doing. That's why when somebody comes at you and they're angry and they start screaming and shouting, you don't do that. You get your voice lower. You lower your voice. That's being meek, strong. But if you got to get them told, now you're getting weak like they are. See this? So we want to be people who mirror something that they want to have. They'll start asking you questions when you show them meekness. Am I making sense? But if you're always blowing a gasket and always got to get the last word and strifeful, I'm going to show you something. That's where all evil spirits reside, in strife. But when you have meekness, you are showing them Jesus. Jesus said, come to me, all of you labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. There's your peace. When you have that connection with Jesus and you're talking to him, I gotta say this. Jesus is the high priest of your confession. In Hebrews chapter 3, it says Jesus is the high priest of your confession. What's he talking about? The word confession means to agree. So when I agree with Jesus, now he's going to be the priest over my confession. So if I'm in confusion and I'm confessing to him about my confusion, he's going to get involved. He's the priest. That word priest is the word pontifex. He's the bridge builder. He's going to build a bridge from my confusion to his peace. You see that? When I'm dependent on him, I'm learning from him. Am I making sense? See, that's when you get healed. You can get healed that way. It says that in James 5 that when you confess your faults one to another, you can be healed. Because your confession is to Christ, and he's the high priest over your confession. You see, you heard people that hurt people, healed people, heal people. Huh? You know what? He sent his word to heal us. When we're sanctifying ourselves and we're in his word, healing is taking place. Am I making sense today? Think about this. Having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. People are going to make fun of you because you take a stand for Christ. People are going to say things against you because you stand for Christ. You think anybody's ever come against me? It's just that's how it is. You know what? If you don't want any criticism or any, just don't do anything. Just be a do nothing and, you know, see no evil, fear no. Don't do nothing, and nobody will bother you. But when you do something, people are going to come against you. Am I making sense? Now, for it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good and for doing evil. You see, you overcome all evil with good. And you're going to suffer because you're walking this thing out. It's okay to suffer, right? It's just going to make you more like Jesus. Jesus learned obedience through suffering. Guess how you're going to learn obedience? Through suffering. We're going to have to go through things. But you see, that's the sanctification process. You hear the word of God being prophesied over you. It's being prophesied over you. And God redeems every area of your life. There's an area in your life right now that God's trying to redeem. And God is speaking to you now, and he's trying to redeem that area. See, that's what revelation is. It means to prophesy, to redeem. A prophetic, redemptive uncovering. That's what prophesy means. A prophetic, redemptive uncovering. So God is speaking to you. He's giving you a peek at an area of your life. He wants you to get in alignment with him. And so that's what he's doing. He's calling you to that. And if you'll yield to that and obey that, there's going to be a little suffering. It's going to be painful because change is never easy. It's the ones who are changing and growing and maturing that are really benefiting in the things of God. And that's the sanctification process. Let's go to Hebrews 12:14. Look what he says. Pursue peace. Where's peace come from? Comes from God. Pursue means I'm after this thing. I am putting my energies and time and money investing in, I'm pursuing this peace. It's only going to come from God. Now look. Pursue peace with some folks. Huh? How many people? All people. And holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Here's my point. If you are at odds with someone else, you don't have peace. If you have unforgiveness towards somebody or resentment, and you haven't dealt with it, you don't have peace. Now, people don't see Christ in you. Did you hear me? They can't see the Lord in you. And guess what? You can't see the Lord in others either. It affects and blurs your vision. Did you catch that? When we understand this, we will jump to make it right with other people, to be a peacemaker. See this? This is why you should be a peacemaker at home. I'm telling you, your husband don't want to pick up his shoes, you pick them up. You know why? Because listen, see, you don't want to bring out people's mistakes. You don't want to rub it in, you want to rub it out. When you, now look, if your husband's not picking up his socks and you start picking them up, guess what? You're showing him. You're submitting. You're giving him that visual. He'll start picking them up. Am I making sense? When you start demonstrating submission, it's going to show up more in your relationships. That's just the way we're made.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.